Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And when we say we do what we do because life and truth matter, I use life in the sense of the experience of life, the knowledge of life, experiencing Christ, not just knowing, but as has been well said, knowing. There's a difference between cognitively apprehending something and having a real experience with the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. But obviously, we're also very interested in the foundational principle of all anthropology, and that is human life, meaning that we live in a culture today in which life is considered from a different perspective as the culture becomes more and more materialistic than the perspective that was imbued in Western civilization by the Judeo-Christian tradition. And I want to say a few words about that after I do your calls. But important to communicate, something that I read in a blog by Jerry Coyne. He's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Chicago. And he's not only defending abortion, but he is indeed defending infanticide. This is all part of the slippery slope that we are on as a culture. So Coyne writes, if you are allowed to abort a fetus that has a severe genetic defect, then why aren't you able to euthanize the same fetus just after it's born? I see no substantive difference that would make the former act moral and the latter act immoral. And I can say that on one level, he's absolutely right. In other words, if you can abort a late-term child, why not take the next step and abort a child a few days after the child is born? Again, the problem here is a failure to recognize that that child has personhood from the moment of conception. But Coyne is not alone. I think of Francis Crick. He was co-discoverer of the double helix structure of DNA. I bring him up on this broadcast because he had a partner. His partner was James Watson. And in one of the most chilling quotes I have ever heard, this co-discoverer, again, of the structure of DNA, said that because of the limitations of present detection methods, most birth defects are not discovered until birth. However, said Watson, if a child was not declared alive until 3 days after birth, well, then the doctor could allow the child to die if the parents so chose and save a lot of misery and suffering. And think about the chilling effect of those words. Because after all, everything becomes subjective when we live in a materialistic culture. So now you see the child, and if the child doesn't quite suit your fancy, well, you make a choice and you let that child die. Well, not just let that child die, you take active steps in order that that child, in fact, dies. And this is precisely what Peter Singer was talking about. He's the famous Princeton ethicist, when he said that newborn human babies have no sense of their own existence over time. So killing a newborn baby is never equivalent to killing a person. If a decision is taken by the parents and doctors that it's better that a baby should die, I believe it should be possible to carry out that decision not only by withholding or withdrawing support for life, but also by taking active steps to end the baby's life swiftly and humanely. Again, all of this arbitrary depending on what you think the quality of a person's life actually is. In the New York Times, Gary Comstock said, "It seems that the medical community has few options to offer parents of newborn babies likely to die." And so the implication is you have to expand those options. Going back to Coyne, the reason that we can expand those options is because human beings, after all, are no different than bananas or dogs. Says Coyne, the reason we don't allow euthanasia of newborns is because humans are seen as special. And I think this comes from religion. In particular, the view that humans, unlike animals, are endowed with a soul. Well, the materialist certainly doesn't hold to substance dualism. So everything's just a function of brain chemistry and genetics. And once you start teaching this philosophy, you become an instrument for the devolution of civilization, which is already essentially fragile. And Coyne is not just a guy on a street corner with a megaphone or maybe a loud voice. He's a respectable professor in what is thought to be a respectable university. And he is telling people, the students that are impressionable, that there is no such thing as morals. There is no such thing as right or wrong. There's no distinction between an animal and a human being. These are serious times, times in which we as Christians need to be ready to give an answer. This is not optional. The reason the culture is devolving is because we as Christians are not doing what we as Christians are called to do. You can repeat it over and over again, and hopefully it becomes stuck in your memory trace, salt and light. We're called to be salt, we're called to be light, and if we are not salt and light, culture devolves. And civilizations are lost. And right now, without any hyperbole, I can tell you that Western civilization hangs in the balance, and that by a very thin thread. Ethics and morality are now a function of the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And this is in direct opposition to being firmly rooted in scientific and spiritual standards. And thus, with no enduring reference point, societal norms have been reduced to mere matters of choice. Year by year, multiplied millions of preborn children are sacrificed on the altar of abortion, and now, And now we're talking about not just abortion infanticide. It's part of polite conversation. It's an option in the discussion. Now note, when I was quoting, and I put a bunch of quotes together, I was quoting not fringe people. We're talking about a Princeton ethicist. We're talking about a famous university professor. We're talking about the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA. These are not fringe people. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you, we simply can't do what we do. We want you to join the team in making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers and more of the Bible Answers Men broadcast.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. First up, Tim in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Tim.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good.
I started listening to your program about 3 months ago, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Thank you.
Sometimes you need to talk in layman terms for us rednecks to understand what you're saying, though. I can't. But I need to ask you a question, Hank. I was saved 24 years ago, but after that, I called myself a Christian, but I fell into some deep sin. I was into pornography, lust, stealing, whatever I needed to do. But the last, about 2 or 3 months ago, something happened in my life that God just changed me, and I asked Him to forgive me. I confessed my sins to other people. And my question is, do I still have a chance to get to heaven?
Well, the answer is unequivocally, yes, of course you do. In fact, this is the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said to Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was someone who stole, someone who lived a life of immorality, a life apart from the very one who designed him. And yet, Zacchaeus found salvation. Today, salvation, said Jesus, has come into that household, into that life. And Zacchaeus becomes, therefore, an example for you of someone who genuinely now follows Jesus Christ. And I think that's the issue, Tim. The issue is never whether you had some kind of transactional relationship with God where you prayed a prayer and now you get a ticket to heaven and a ticket out of hell. The real issue is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you someone who wants to conform your life to the pattern laid out for you by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That's not transactional. That's transformational. And you had, as you said, 3 months ago or thereabouts, this epiphany of sorts. You had this experience with Christ that was so profound that you confessed your sin, not only to God, but to others. God never turns away those who confess their sins, who want to repent and make that U-turn that you've made on the road of life. But I would issue a bit of a warning. Don't try to make the rest of your journey like the last part of your journey. Don't try to make this journey on your own. Take the journey with the body. That's what we're called to do. When you become a believer and you are baptized, what you were saying is, I now have been buried to my old life. The life that you're living before 3 months ago. And I have now been raised to newness of life through His resurrection power. I am now a new creation. Christ not only saved me by His death, He saved me unto His life, as Romans 5 says. And that life is a life that is lived in community. That is a life that is lived within the body of Christ, where you receive the graces by which you can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. One of my favorite quotes has become Vladimir Lossky. He was a theologian who said, in effect, after the fall, the history of humanity is a long history of shipwreck awaiting recovery. But the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the shipwrecked to continue on to union with God. So this is all about a relationship. It's not just about a transaction. It's about experiencing Christ, and you do that within the body of Christ. So again, what is my warning? My warning is, don't try to do the rest of the journey by yourself. do it in community within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. May God allow you to be surrounded by people who can help you on your journey to union with God, to life in the Trinity. And this is the very thing for which we were created, life in the Trinity. This is not, well, a throwaway statement. This is not just another nice thing to say. I mean, this is the very thing that we were created for. We're creating the Imago Dei. We're creating the image and likeness of God. And so this is of transcendent importance. I want to take an email question from Patrick. I recently heard on the broadcast that when you do something wrong to another person, you not only sin against God, you also sin against that other person. Is that correct? Can we also sin against another man? That, I think, is a profound question. That's the kind of question I like to take on the Bible Instrument broadcast. When a man steals from another man in violation of the Eighth Commandment, well, we know from Scripture that he clearly sins against God. But the answer to the question is, he also sins against the individual in taking what does not belong to him. So it's a sin against God. It's also a sin against humankind. And that's why the Lord taught us to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." Or if you read Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, where Peter comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, "Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Remember Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. In other words, you always forgive. If you have been forgiven a debt that cannot be quantified, we should never consider withholding forgiveness for those who sin against us. So how many times shall I forgive? It implies that we do forgive our brother and sister. Ephesians 4 is also, I think, a passage right around verse 32 that underscores this point. Be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And there are many other passages. When you sin against them, then we are told by the Apostle Paul, we ought to forgive because our sin is not only against humanity, it is also a sin against Christ. So a sin against Christ is a sin against the body. A sin against the body is a sin against Christ. And I think even more interesting in answer to a very interesting question is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You can even sin against your own body. So you think about humanity, it includes you. So for example, he who unites himself with the Lord is one with the Lord in spirit. And therefore we are to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man can commit is outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That adds a whole other dimension to it. Again, he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So the answer to your question is multifaceted. It's a great question. You also sin against a person when you sin against God. And in short, you can sin against another man. You can sin against your body. So you have the body of Christ, your own body, and you have Christ who's the head of the body. And so we daily ask God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the reasons that I think this is a particularly important question is that today you have all kinds of popular preachers who are telling you that when you sin, don't ever ask for forgiveness, because asking for forgiveness is tantamount to spitting in the face of God. So please, please never ask for forgiveness. And I have been absolutely astounded at how rapidly that perversion has become part of the ethic of the body of Christ, how quickly people have embraced that kind of spiritual cyanide. Well, what's the antidote? Well, the antidote is to learn discernment skills. When someone says something like that, you don't look at the power of their radio platform or their television platform. You test what they say in light of Scripture, and then you hold fast to that which is good. Look forward to seeing you right back here next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.